go with the message today, Raj. We're rolling. Going to be sort of quick here today. We've been looking. It's called Real Life. We all could use some help. And, you know, we come up with series, different ways to maybe look at a scripture and not change the meaning of the scripture at all, but to try to relate it to us. And so here's the Apostle Paul. We looked at his life. He's the man Saul. He's there when Stephen is stoned, and he's the one leading the parade here to kill this good man of God. And, you know, then he gets papers to go to Damascus, Syria, to haul off more Christians and kill them and put them in prison. And on that road to Damascus, he gets saved. This wicked man, this killer of Christians, gets saved. It's craziness. That's the grace of God. Amen? God can save anybody. The Apostle Paul later said, basically, when Jesus saved me, he saved the chief of sinners. Amen? And if he saved the chief, if you're an Indian, he can get you too. Amen? Say, come on. Come on. Come on. That's what he said. He saved the chief of sinners. And so we've been following this man, not a whole detailed study of his life, but just how can it help us a little bit? His life help our life. So we've seen him now saved. We've seen him a few things in his life. Last week we looked at a lot. He wrote 13 books in our New Testament, 27 books in the New Testament, 27 books in the New Testament. So the Apostle Paul wrote about half of them. That should encourage us, right? Here's a guy God saved who is a crazy, wicked sinner, killer of Christians. And God saved him. Look what he did in his life. Maybe he can do something in my life. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what we've been talking about. We looked last week that out of the many books that he wrote, one of the number one subjects that the Apostle Paul dealt with was the mind. Was the mind. So we gave a message last week on the mind. Real life, we all could use some help. And many of us, including Umaro Uno here, me, could use some help with our head. Amen? Yours truly. Needs help with his head sometimes. So, today's message. Okay? There they are. Yep. These are people I have to deal with. Yes, and work with. Oh, definitely work with. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is Roger on the right. Anyway, I'm sorry. You shouldn't have said anything. You just sit there and hush unless you want me to talk about you. This is not a good message to respond on. Lots of bad things coming. Amen? But what do you do in life, especially your Christian life? And this is sort of a personal message. It's the Apostle Paul. We're going to look at him. But it also is personally, I put a little bit of my own thinking. This is my thinking. You'll see the message. But also from a pastor's point of view, from a Christian's point of view, when you're in a church and you're with people and you're working with people, there's crazy that goes on inside the church. Did you understand that? Yes or no? If you think, now I'm at fellowship, everybody is going to be great now. Everybody is perfect. There's disappointments out there. There's disappointments in here. Crazy people out there. Crazy people in here. Okay? Crazy situations. What do you do in life? I want to talk to you this message today. Personality disorders. We just call it that because there's different people with different situations that's going to come against you in your life and in my life. And a lot of times we are these people as well. So let's go with the message now. Let's look at it. How do you deal with the difficult personality disorders of others in your life? That's what we're talking about this morning. Are a certain person's disorders messing you up? Can you think of somebody maybe even right now? Don't dwell on it too much. You're going to get ticked off before we even start. But are there people in your life that, man, why do they do that? Why do they think that way? What's wrong with them? Come on. We're going to follow Paul. Still in the Bible. And these are five things I picked up on as I was reading. And I'd like to share them with you today. Personality disorders. Here he is. Now he's going to preach the gospel. He's traveling, taking the word of Jesus. Used to persecute people for this name. Now he's preaching this name. And don't you see some of the problems with people that he encountered? And I think there's some that you and I, if we learn, we can do better ourselves at dealing with some of these problems. Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas, and who?" Saul, that's our man. "For the work whereunto I have called them." And when they fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they what? They sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, they departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to where? Cyprus, and we've heard of that. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also who? John Mark. Say that. John Mark. One more time. John Mark. To their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country. Here's the deputy of the whole country, Sergius Paulus. He was a prudent man. Say this part with me. Who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to what? Hear the word of God. So, we're going to now pick it up. We're going to see it. Don't go to sleep on me. This is going to be funny if you let it. We might learn something. Amen. Here we go. We understand what we're doing right now. Paul and Barnabas are called. They're being sent out to preach the Word of God. They've got on a ship. They've traveled. They're over here now. This main dude of the country wants to hear the Word of God, and he's invited them to preach the Word. And he's a dude high up. Is that correct? Yes or no? Keep looking. Personality disorder. Verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, this sorcerer dude, say that part with me, did what? Withstood them, seeking to what? Turn away the deputy from the faith. Say that with me. Turn away the deputy from the faith. So this guy wants to hear the Word of God, and he's hearing the Word of God, but this dude is trying to preach him something else, another gospel, something else. He's trying to turn him away from the what? Faith. So here's what I put up here. Number one, what's the number one personality disorder you and I have to deal with and others in our life? We need to deal with it first in ourselves, and that is phonies. Say phonies with me. Phonies. Phonies. You're going to have phonies in your life. You're going to have phonies in the church. Are you hearing me? Yes or no? Okay? It's just the way it is. Now, how do you deal with somebody who is a phony? They're not telling the truth. They're not preaching the Word. They're not saying it straight. That's not right. How do you deal with somebody like that? How do I deal with somebody like that? Straight on! Thus says the Lord. You hearing me today? God never called me to take a false religion and somehow find the good in it, brother, and make it so it's sort of nice. No, if it's false religion, it's false religion, and I don't need to have a thing to do with it. You hear me? Yes or no? Now, the person matters. Sure. But as far as me needing to adopt this or this idea, that idea, if it's not scriptural, if it's not in the Bible, it's phony. Y'all listen to me or not? I don't care what your grandmama taught you or what another church taught you. If it's not true in the Word, guys, when are you going to get to the place where we're going to say, God's Word is true. I'm going to let God be true and every man a liar. Where did I get that statement from? Bible. That's what the Bible says. Let God be what? True and every man a what? Liar. Okay? So this old dude was coming along, and he was, you know, here they're preaching the Word, they're preaching the truth, and this guy's a phony, and he's trying to get him to do something else. You hearing me or not? So how do I deal with phonies? Guess how? Straight on. Where did I get that kind of thinking from right here? Then Saul, now here we go, who also is called who? Paul. He was filled with the... And here's where I get that straight on idea. He set his eyes, what? Do that with me. He set his eyes on him. And said, "Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to pervert the right way of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you." But it ain't what you wanted. "And you're going to be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. And he went about seeking somebody to lead him by the hand." Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, say it with me, believed, being astonished at the what? Now, it's interesting. Now, I'd have been astonished at Paul making that dude go blind like that. But the Word of God's quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. That's what it's all about. This deputy was astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. The good teaching of the gospel. Are y'all hearing me? Did I lose you? That's how I deal with phonies. The Word of my God shall endure forever. The Word of the Lord is true. Okay? Don't need to sidestep or anything like that. Pop it up. Phony faith will never what? Phony faith will never what? Fly. And here's what you need to learn about phonies and phoniness in your life, but definitely dealing with phonies. Phoniness will never be fixed by sidestepping. Say that with me. Phoniness will never be fixed by sidestepping it. Or just being politically correct. That's a word we use now. Is that correct? What's politically correct? We do that in church. Because we don't ruffle no what? Feathers. Don't want to ruffle their feathers. Well, God called me to ruffle feathers. You know? Yeah. If I didn't have a coach when I was a kid ruffle some of the feathers in my life, I'd have never made the team. I needed somebody to push me, drive me, get in my face a little bit, tell me where it is. This is the way you do it. Come on right now. Get your butt up and let's go. I don't see a whole lot of difference in the church, guys, honestly. I need a little kick in the tail every once in a while. How about y'all? Okay. So how do I deal with phoniness? Here we go. Say it with me. Like this. Can you do your hands? We're doing hand signals. We like in junior church. Here we go. Come on. Do this with me. Straight on. And at the end of the day, we're going to stand up and sing a song. Here we go. Come on. Personality disorder number two. One of my favorite messages. Here it is. Come on. We're just reading the Bible. I hadn't even skipped a verse yet. Now, when Paul and his company loose from Paphos, here they're going out to preach the gospel, and I thought this is going to be fun, and everybody's just going to love it. It's all going to be great. Guys, that's not how you build a church. That's not reality. That's not living in reality. It's going to be phonies. Is that what we figured out? Say. Now they've loosed from Paphos. They come to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, Mark, departs from them and returns to Jerusalem. Now that doesn't look like it's that big a deal. Keep reading. All right, we're going to check it out. What do you do, number with phonies? Number two, what do you do in the Christian life and in the church with quitters? What if every time somebody quit at fellowship, I quit? Well, I'd have to quit like three times a week. Amen. Come on. God didn't call me to what I do. You just stay now as long as if nobody ever quits on you. Y'all listening or not? And people will play that trump card somewhere. Well, I'll just quit. Well, you just quit then. Because I'm not. What do you do with quitters? I mean, come on, let's talk about it. You can say what you want to, but people that quit, that's a problem. That's a problem. Had a coach, the head football coach, told the players, he stopped by and saw me yesterday, and he was just telling me what he talked about to the players. He talked to them yesterday, and he said, "Look, if you're content with losing like you did on Friday night, if you're content with that effort and you're content with losing and you're satisfied with that, he told the whole team, you're going to be content with losing the rest of your life. You're going to be, and he said this, and you're going to be a bum. That's what he told them. One of the kids got mad at him, came to him and said, well, you know, you're calling us all bums. He said, I ain't calling you a bum. I'm saying if that's your attitude, if you want to be a quitter, if you want to have that attitude and satisfied with losing, he said that. But you know, he's telling the truth. That's why ball is more important than just the game on Friday night. You're teaching life lessons and character. Say character with me. Come on. Not saying sometimes we don't walk away, we don't leave something. I'm talking about, there's a difference. Quitters. Y'all listening? I told you this would be an interesting message. How do I deal with it? How do I deal with quitters? Say that with me. How do I deal with quitters? How about this? You'd be surprised how good that keep going works. Amen? Come on. Say this with me. Oh, here's a big word. It's tough. Say it with me. Wave with me. Come on, wave at me. Be nice. Smile. In all the years of ministry, I've tried. I've really tried. Anybody who's walked with me and then they quit. It's the story of life. Is that right, Pastor? Mrs. Lindo, I know as a pastor's wife, it's one of the things that breaks your heart more than anything, doesn't it? It just hurts, and people don't know that kind of pain that most, that many times pastors' wives feel, because we just love, don't we? I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, right? But you have to say bye, don't you? But you, what I've tried to do over the years is if I say bye and I do it in a good way, I can say hi again. Say hi. Now say bye. Now say hi. But if you quit, if a quitter quits and then you quit, you just got bye-bye. There ain't no high. Amen? Come on. If somebody else quits, I need to stay here. I can go bye, but at least I'm still here to go hi. Come on. Here we go. Check it out. Now, this was a good man. This was John. This was John Mark. I mean, it's not just like bad people quit. Good people quit. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again. Let's visit our brethren every city. So they wanted to go on another trip to preach the word of the Lord and to see how they're doing. And Barnabas determined, well, I want to take John with us. I'm going to take John, whose surname was what? Well, I'm going to take John Mark with us. But Paul thought it not good to take him with him. Who what? Quit from the work at Pamphylia and went not with them. And the contention was so sharp between who? Barnabas and who? Paul. Paul was so determined, I'm not taking him with me. And Barnabas was so determined that Paul, you should be nice and you should take him with you, that they departed from each other. Paul and who? Barnabas. Now Barnabas, his name is like son of consolation. Is that right? This is craziness. Good man. And so what did Paul do? He chose who? And he departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the who? Grace of God. Paul kept going. And it's funny. Did you hear so-and-so left the church? Did you hear so-and-so? I ain't heard Barnabas left. Did you hear me? Now that's a big deal when Barnabas leaves. Did you hear me? Yes or no? That's a big deal when old John Mark leaves. We make such a big deal and we try to make a mountain out of a molehill when somebody, here's our call. Preach the gospel. Reach the lost. People are going to come and go because that's what people do, guys. Are you hearing me? Yes or no? Now I'm not talking about this to be ugly because of a situation. I'm just reading my Bible to you. Amen? That's how you deal with real life. So, what do you say to a quitter? Here we go. Let's do it together. It's nice. I'm not saying be ugly. Come on, here we go. Bye. But now keep in mind, when you see him again, you can say what? Hi. Some churches, when somebody leaves, They're as cold as ice to other folk that used to come. That should never be said of Fellowship Church. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Now, people want to be cold to us someday. That's their problem. That ain't my problem. I never go down another aisle at the grocery store. Let's say, oh, here comes so-and-so. They used to come to the church. They don't like me no more. You know what? I might be on this aisle. Going down this aisle, I just get a glimpse of it. I'll go ahead and do my buggy this way. Hi. Not to be ugly, but to show that I'm steady. And I say it, this is my town. I don't say that arrogant. This is my field that God's called me to. Amen? That make any sense? Time. Roger's tapping his wrist. Here's the good news. Paul, later in his life, asked for Mark to come back and be with him and help him in the later on in his ministry. Isn't that beautiful? Say, yeah, he's profitable to me. So, just because somebody quits doesn't mean we ought to give up totally on them. Yes or no? Yes or no? But if you hook your wagon to a quitter, there's a good chance your wagon's going to be in the ditch or at least parked for a while. Amen? Come on. You keep following Jesus, God will what? Bless you. He's going to keep you. He's going to take care of you. Don't let a what? Stop who? You. What if that's how the race was run? And somebody gets out of breath. Okay, he quit. We all quit. That'd be no marathon, would it, say? No. Okay, come on. Now, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Keep reading the Scriptures. And they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Okay? Read that verse one more time. I'm sorry. So another personality disorder coming up. The Jews were seeing the multitudes. They were seeing the crowds. They were seeing the people coming. They were seeing the people hearing. And they were filled with what? Envy. That's why so often it's Christians who attack other Christians. It's because of envy. And because we still, even though we're Christians, we're still sinners. Is that correct? Sure. It happened to Paul. They're doing a good thing. And it was religious people who were envious and started attacking them. Number three is, what do you do when you're doing a good thing and things are going good? What do you do with joy stealers? That's what I call it. What do you do with joy stealers? Somebody that just wants to be negative. They want to be negative. And they want to, you've got good things are going. At any place, no place is perfect. But instead of focusing on the good, they want to just steal that joy. Y'all listening to me, or am I just preaching to somebody else? How do I deal with it? Turn away. If you want to lose your joy, keep listening to that. You hearing me? Yes or no? I ain't got time. I am not going to live my life like that. You hear so-and-so and this and such and this and that and that and that and that. Ain't you got any good news? I tell you what, guys. We meet in a public high school building in America. We live in Florida on the Gulf of Mexico. And you're still, you know, you're still ticked off. And oh, but I forgot. It's my fault. Come on. Guys, I'm just telling you, the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. Come on, turn away from that. Then Paul and Barnabas, they waxed what? Bold. I love that. And said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, the religious Jews, seeing you put it from you and you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we're going to turn to the Gentiles. Since you don't like our message, I sure am finding a whole lot of other people do. And did you know what? I tell our staff that often. I know Dina and Roger and Alex, and I know so many of you and the love. And I know what we're doing and building a facility in the middle of Rotunda down there, and it's beautiful. And I know the word I preach is the word of God. And I know my motivation. We will succeed. Say that with me. We will what? We will succeed. Now, if you want to turn away from it, or if you over here don't want everlasting life, there's a big old world out here that'll say yes to everlasting life. You hearing me, yes or no? Yeah! For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were what? Glad. Did you know there'll be people glad in Englewood and the greater Englewood community in Port Charlotte and places like that to know there's a church they can come to where there's love and there's not that infighting and there's not that pecking order and there's not that politics and not that mess, but we love the Lord, we love people, we love His Word, and you can be you, man. I believe it'll work. You hear me today? I believe people will be what? Glad. I don't need to spend my time with the mad ones. Or even the sad ones that are just so, oh, it's all terrible. I'd like to lift your heads. Look on the fields. Maybe they're white to harvest. Amen. Come on. And they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life, they believed. And the word of the Lord was what? Published throughout all the what? Region. But the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised what? Persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and did what to them? Ran them out of town. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with what? Joy. How can you get run out of town and still have joy? How can bad things happen? And so-and-so said this. And people say things, honestly, guys, I get a lot said about me that's negative and ugly and about my own children. It's funny, very few of them ever walk right up to my face and say it right to my face. Because I'll get in the flesh a little bit and beat them. No, I won't do that. I won't do that. It's not going to happen. Amen? Come on. I'm not going to do that. Don't you tell nobody to do that. So what do I do about it? Shake your feet. Can you do your feet right there where you are? Is that what the Bible said they did? Shake the dust off your feet. Somebody trying to steal your joy? Say things, hurt you, tear you down, tear your church down, whatever. You shake, guys. You got to do some. You got to do some shaking, baby. Amen. Say. Number four. I know I'm late, buddy. There sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who'd never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfast beholding him, he perceived that he had faith to be healed. Said with a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." He leaped. He walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lyconians, "The gods are coming down to us in the likeness of men." They made Paul out to be a god. And they called Barnabas Jupiter. They named him Jupiter. And they called Paul Mercurius. Now, I've had nice things said about me, but never that. Come on. Because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Personality disorder. What do you do with flatterers? People say really nice things to me sometimes, and sometimes they go way over the top. And I look at them and I go, I know me, and I ain't all that. Okay? Most flatterers will leave you. Did you hear me? Yes or no? If somebody's saying too good of things that sound sometimes too good to be true about you, it probably is, and they ain't going to be there saying it later. You know, the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a what? A friend. A lot of times, I mean, not that we need to be ugly to friends and everything, but sometimes being real is the best approach. Amen? Say. But if people come to fellowship and, la, 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 la. I'm like, What do you do with flatterers? How do I deal with flatterers? Here I do it. Resist flattery and redirect any glory you get to the Lord. Point your finger up into heaven. Do this right here. Come on, do this right here. Do this right here. You give God the credit. You give God the glory. It's okay to receive encouragement. I receive encouragement. I used to not receive encouragement. I thought it was bad for me to receive any good word from somebody. I always had to do all this all the time. You do need to do that. There is a difference, though. You need to receive encouragement. Amen? Y'all listening to me? But this over-the-top crazy mess, you know, blabber, are you kidding me? All right? Now, when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they did what? They rent their clothes. They ran among the people and started crying. When they called them gods, they said, "Sir, why do you do these things? We're men just like who? You! We preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities. You don't even make us God, somebody else a God, that crazy God you're worshiping down the street. You need one true God, Jesus. Turn to God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all the things that are in. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." And He's just preaching to them. Here's what you do to flatterers. Come on, point up to God. Come on, that's what you do. Redirect it and give Him the credit. Redirect it and give Him the credit. Amen? Come on. Last one and I'm done, Rod. You're killing me. We'll just do it with this one. I think you can just move to the last one after I read the Scripture. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. Say, persuaded the people. Same people who said they were gods. The same people who said they were gods picked up stones and started doing what? Stoning them. Don't be surprised if the flatterer turns into a rock thrower. Did you hear me? So while you have the chance with flattery, give God the credit. Okay? A lot of times, what do you do with rock throwers? What do you do with people that hurt you physically, personally, with their words, persecution? No, there's going to be what? Now, I didn't read all the Scriptures, but it goes on to say that know that there's going to be tribulation. You're going to have people in your life that's going to be rock throwers. I'm really talking rock throwers. How many have had somebody hurt you? It could be physically or with emotionally. They've really, 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 really hurt you in your life. And it hurt, man. It damaged you. It hurt. They did some damage there. It hurt. That hurt me. Oh, yeah, that hurt me. A lot of times that stuff, that emotional stuff can be... Well, I'd rather them let me see them hit me with the thing. At least I can know what's coming. You know what I mean? Rock throwers. Point to your temples. Tap your temples. Know you're going to suffer persecution. Know there's going to be tribulation. Don't let it surprise you. When these bad things happen in your life. I'm on planet Earth. I'm a disciple of Christ. Jesus said, hey, if they hated me, there's a good chance they're going to what? Hate you too. Amen? Come on. So, disorder, we looked at them today. Here they are. I found them. Phonies, straight on, hands straight out, quitters, keep going, wave. Joy stealers, turn away, shake your feet, flatterers, resist it, redirect it to God, point up to Him, rock throwers, know that there's going to be what?
Tap your temple.
Say no. No, I know this is going to happen. Amen. Would you stand on up with me? Here we go. We're done with the message. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, I'm going to have you sing a song.